So I'm here with Mark Durso, a senior development lead on the Library Experience team. How's it going, Mark?
Pretty good.
So tell me a little bit about what you do here at Microsoft.
As you said, I'm a senior development lead. I work on the MSDN and TechNet and Expression websites, as well as offline help. And my responsibilities include the website rendering and the offline help rendering of these properties.
So I noticed there's a lot of new views in the library on MSDN. Can you tell me about that?
Yep. We have a new view called Lightweight, and we have another one called Script-Free. So our Script-Free view, which I'll talk about first, this is our Script-Free view. The intent with the Script-Free view is to give, obviously, a Script-Free view of the library, but to have a view that's optimized for download and fast clicking on the website. So maybe you're in a high latency area and things aren't coming through very quickly, you can get to the documentation and not be blocked. It is optimized for performance, so some features are turned off. We don't have hiding and showing of areas of the page, so that's why you see all the code blocks there. And we also don't have a search as of yet. We may add one in the future. But this is intended for kind of as more like a fallback for when the site is slow wherever you're at. And most people are, I'm sure, very familiar with the what we call the classic website, and it's recently undergone a makeover to have our new logo and visual style that goes with the logo, but it's still, you know, the tree view and the content. And we have added this switch view control over here that shows you the couple three views of the site. And if we click on the beta view, we get to what we call the lightweight view. And this is intended to be a balance between the low feature script-free experience and the high and rich classic experience. And we have some new features that are here that are not on either. So in particular, we have a new tabbed code block. The tabbed code block, if you click it, it does a post back and it sets a cookie that says, this is my preferred language for viewing content. And when you're browsing around the site, you will stay on that particular language. Now, we did this as a post back as opposed to an asynchronous call or showing and hiding of the content for a couple of reasons. When we do it this way, we don't have to send all the content down the page. So it's actually a smaller download. We don't have all five or six languages in line in the page. We also don't have scripts that are going to add extra calls and latency to our pages. And what we think is that switching tabs is not something that people do necessarily on a regular basis. Now, if we find out that's not the case, we can investigate asynchronous and AJAX type approaches, but that's the thinking behind why it's a postback as opposed to not.
So when I click one of the tabs, does it remember my settings?
Oh, yes, it remembers your settings, and it's intended to be a kind of a set once. Whatever you click last is what it's set to, and we change all the items in the page. And you may notice that some are bolded and some are not bold. And what this means is that we don't have it if it's not bold. So F-sharp is a new language. We don't have as many code samples in F-sharp, but we have some things in JScript that we don't have code samples for. And you can see also that we have other code samples here that don't fit in with the tab code group. These are the core languages that are part of the CLR. Things that are not CLR or that are languages that are code behind kind of languages or declarative languages, we show in an extra code block so you can see them side by side. Another thing you'll notice on the lightweight view is our new TOC treatment. It's similar to what we do in the script free, but it is has a little bit more formatting. So on the script free, we have three sections. These are the parents of the current page. This is the current page that I'm on. And then these are all the children of the page. On lightweight, what we have is these are all the parents of the page. This is the page that I'm on. And what we're showing you is these are your siblings nearby. I happen to be on a leaf node right now. And if I were to click on any one of these others, I can browse nearby leaf nodes. Now, these related links, these are the siblings of document, XML document. So you can go now and browse other classes and see what's going on over there, or you can browse the immediate children of that class. And it's an alternate view of the TOC that allows us to have less script on the page. It's actually the same amount of data that we send down on the classic view of the page, but it just doesn't have the interaction built into it. And additionally, this resizable area control is very difficult to maintain across browsers. One of the things that we are considering is making this not resizable necessarily, but collapsible, and so that you can get it out of the way when you don't need it. And it just depends on the amount of feedback that we get. One of the other features that we have introduced is a search box on the page. So wherever you're at in the library, you can have search scope to not just that part of the library, but the library in general. There is a larger site-wide scope search that we still have. This is a beta feature, and we're testing it out to see how people like it. The problem that we usually get with our search results is that, not that we don't have a search result, it's that we have too many search results, and so we're trying to filter out some of the noise. And hopefully this is an improvement. And again, we're using the Bing search just like the other site-wide search. One of the other new features of the site is our feedback mechanism. This feedback mechanism, when you click on these boxes, none of these are required, but one thing we're trying to understand is how useful is it, what do people think of the feature, and we're actually getting quite a lot of feedback, positive and negative, on the site, and I read it, not on a daily basis, but almost every day, and it's really useful information. Based on some of that feedback, in particular, we're going to be doing a few things, like, let me go back, changing some of the fonts. So we've had quite consistent feedback that the font on code blocks is too large, especially when compared with the rest of the text, and that we should use the font used in Visual Studio Consolis, which we will do. We'll use a fallback to Courier still in case you don't have that installed on your machine. But that's one of the first things we're going to do based on the feedback. Some of the other things around the TOC that we're considering, like I said, was this expand collapse and related links section, rethinking how we lay that stuff out. So that's some of the thinking there. I also did want to show the relationship between this and the offline content. So we started out on this method, XML document, and I had put in a basically a stub class in Visual Studio 2010, and if I hit F1, I have my content set to use offline content, and I get the XML load XML method for the .NET 4.0 framework. And what you'll notice is that the feature set is very similar. It's not exactly the same, but what we're trying to do is keep a correspondence between the documentation. Now, these documents in the offline content are the same documents, and so the idea is that they should look the same or nearly the same. Now, the online stuff is more feature-rich, and that has more to do with the fact that we can make changes on a different schedule than in the offline space. We can make updates to the offline space when we publish new help content. One of the new features of our Help Library Manager is the ability to download new updates. But that happens asynchronously, and not every user may pull that down. So we are trying to keep it in sync and in parity, but it's a loose relationship. And that's it.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.